Right, it's getting to crunch time in some of our big winter sporting competitions. Glenn Lama is our sports commentator today. Thanks for your time, Glenn.
Yes, good morning, Catherine. How are you today?
I'm very good, thank you. Now, what's your take on this tackle? This is such always such a controversial part of the sport. I didn't see it. Talk us through why Shannon Frizzell is under the spotlight for a tackle where a player did end up badly injured.
Yeah, look, the player that we're talking about here is a Reds player who got a fractured neck, which is quite rare in rugby. Connor Vest is his name. So basically, this happened during the Super Rugby game on the weekend between the Highlanders and the Reds. Vest was the ball carrier. He entered, what would have turned out to be a ruck, but Frizzell was bracing to make a tackle. I'm a little bit cautious on saying that because he didn't have his arms out, but the neck fractures more come from a collision rather than an act of foul play. It's one of those.
So he was down,
areas.
Right? He had lowered his body. He didn't
That's
have
correct.
His arms out around the player. But this is the problem, isn't it? With this
yes.
all the time, is players knowing where each other is going to end up, and if your shoulder is a little too high or a little too low, things can go wrong.
That's right. And, you know, on another day, Frizzell could have been the one with a fractured neck. That it was one of those 50-50 kind of grey areas in rugby. So basically what's happened from here is nothing has happened from the tackle. The officials have not really, well, they haven't gone for Frizzell at all. And that's really upset the Reds because, you know, and some of their teammates have come out and said, look, this is ridiculous. The referee didn't handle the incident at all very well. He should have been subject to, you know, the judiciary and stuff like that. But if you actually look at the tackle, it's really, other than the Frizzell maybe being penalised for a no arms tackle or collision, it's really hard to see how any further action the officials could take their action against Frizzell. So it's just one of those really unfortunate incidents which happens in rugby. It's a collision sport, Catherine. So unfortunately, these things happen. And poor old Connor Vest, we feel sorry for him, don't we? He's now dealing with a fracture in his C7 vertebrae in his upper back.
He did walk off, but nonetheless, to subsequently find out a fracture, that is a biggie. And look, there are times in this sport where you just hold your breath. With some of the collisions, and as you say, then there's this great sort of deconstruction as to whether the players did anything illegal or whether it was almost an unfortunate coincidence of one body being in one place and one in another.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. I think you summarised it really well there. And look, all the players know, I mean, if we want to be brutally honest, all the players know they go into a rugby game at this level knowing they could be injured, maybe not fracturing their neck. But so it's going to be interesting to see how the officials handle this one. Whether they implement a rule change going forward, whether there's an instruction to the referee to look out for this sort of stuff and deal with it more in a different way going forward. It's going to be fascinating.
Now let's get to the last weekend of the regular season. What are some of the key matchups that we'll have eyes on?
Well, look, I don't think there's really any surprise with the New Zealand teams that are going to make the playoffs. So there's 12 teams in Super Rugby, 8 make the quarterfinals. The Chiefs, the Crusaders, the Blues and the Hurricanes, they're all there. So we're just waiting to see if the Highlanders are going to join them. They're currently in 8th place and they are on a knife edge at the moment because they really need a win in their last game at Eden Park against Blues to, you know, lock themselves in. Because if they don't even get a bonus point here, they do risk being overtaken by a couple of teams below them on the table. I think the Fijian and Drua might be the team that come through here, Catherine. They're playing the Queensland Reds, who are higher than them on the table. But the Fijian and Drua have won twice in Fiji against New Zealand teams this year. They beat the Hurricanes and the Crusaders, who are well above them on the table. They seem to be playing at home. So the Fijian and Drua, I reckon, look like they could keep the Highlanders out of the top 8. So that's the fascination with where we are at the moment. At the other end of the table, the Chiefs, the Crusaders, the Blues and the Brumbies look good to host quarterfinals. The Hurricanes are probably going to have to play the Brumbies, it looks like, in Canberra in the quarterfinals. Not this weekend, but the following weekend.
All right. Any chance for last-minute sort of turnarounds and comebacks here? The season kind of from fairly early on, with perhaps the exception of the Crusaders with that early loss and early 2 losses, the season kind of sorted itself out for the New Zealand sides quite early, didn't it?
It's been predictable, I think, right, largely. I mean, maybe, you know, I guess at the start of the season, some rugby fans might have expected the Crusaders to be number one and maybe the Chiefs be number two or the Blues be number two. So maybe it's a little refreshing there to see the Chiefs having a good season. Their fans, of course, will be hoping they go on and win the whole thing. That will be determined down the track. But largely, I don't think there's any surprise the Brumbies are the highest performing Australian team. And if we look at the teams down the bottom of the table, really, I don't think there's too much surprise there either. So it's been a largely predictable season.
What do you make of Wayne Smith's comments? And it wasn't even so much about this competition, which obviously has changed the Northern Hemisphere side's departures. The whole season's changed, really, hasn't it, with respect to the number of teams that we see in various competitions. But his kind of criticism was really the way the whole game is going. Yes. He hates them all, doesn't he? He hates the Roland Moore. But, you know, as a spectacle, how would you sum it up?
Oh, look, it's a hard watch. I don't think there's any doubt about it at the moment that rugby is a hard watch. It's been, not only is it predictable, we're going to get scrum resets in games that doesn't see the ball and play as much. There are going to be refereeing decisions that confuse all the fans. There's a lot of advantage being played. And I'm totally with Wayne Smith. I find Super Rugby, if I'm being honest here, I find it a hard watch at the moment. I mean, I think the New Zealand derbies still have a nice edge to them, but largely the other games are pretty much forgettable these days. And I think a lot of fans have been attracted over to the NRL this year because that competition is very close, unpredictable. We're seeing teams down the bottom of the table beat the top teams. So I think there are fans that like, you know, at the end of the day, we love sport because we want to see a contest, Catherine. We like to see unpredictability, and I don't think there's enough of it in Super Rugby at the moment.
Well, the Warriors have kept the hopes, kept the believers going all season. There was a bit of a weird moment and an unfortunate moment in the match-up with the Brisbane team at the weekend at Napier. Several pitch invasions. I think you were there, Glenn, were you?
Yeah. Look, I was commentating that game, and I've got to say, I walked out at the end of it pretty grumpy, to be fair. Not only with the Warriors losing in kind of a dramatic way at the end of the game, but there were pitch invasions, two or three sets of them to the end of the game, which held the game up and left the players standing around for several minutes on each occasion. So there was a number of issues at play here. I don't think the security company at the ground were particularly well geared up to deal with multiple pitch invasions. Maybe there wasn't enough staff there. I don't know, but they didn't seem, from my perspective in the grandstand, they weren't handling the pitch invasions particularly well at all. And they just kept coming, Catherine. That was the frustrating thing. So I think I think Red Badge Security, they were the company that were running that game. They probably need to take a good look at themselves and maybe modify the way their security plans are going forward in all games around New Zealand, because this thing's a blight on all sport. We don't want to see, particularly if you're at the ground watching the game, you don't want to see or sit around for 5 to 10 minutes waiting for security to try and deal with some clowns that have run onto the field.
You just
right?
want to shout
they,
out, it's not all about
coming,
you, Sunshine,
you know what I mean?
Don't you? And the other thing is, I was reading, the organisers are pretty frustrated. They can't even really take legal action against them, can they?
No, well, that's right. And none of these invaders, if I'd like to call them that, are going to actually be fined, because this is what Reg Badge Security and also the Napier City Council events manager has been saying. They don't think the legislation in place under the Major Events Management Act are strong enough to deter pitch invaders, and they're calling for an urgent review of that legislation. So that's quite interesting. So I think there's a number of factors at play here, but something has to be done, because at the moment, whether it's the security, the company that is looking after a ground, whether it's the invaders themselves, you think, oh, well, we can just get away with anything if we just run onto the field. We're not going to get a fine. The whole thing needs looking at, because what we saw on Saturday night was a blight, really. Was frustrating.
Alrighty. And then a loss, as you said, just to top it off. We're at the business end, though, of the ANZ Netball Premiership. We've got the final coming up, and a good one, it looks like.
Yeah, I think we're in for a terrific contest this weekend. The Mystics playing the Stars. The two Auckland teams are playing each other. In the regular season, they need a double overtime to sort out that one of their matches, Catherine. So it's if we get something like that this weekend, I think we're in for a terrific contest. The Stars beat the defending champions Pulse at the weekend by one goal. So it's very close between those top three teams. And let's hope we get a really close game. It looks like we're going to get one, and two teams performing at their best with a title on the line. And, of course, Silver Fern Spots you know, for the offering too, for the World Cup coming up too. I think all the players will want to be at their best, not only to win the title, but to lock in their spot for a World Cup for New Zealand. So, yeah, it's all to play for this weekend. It's looking really good.
And in another code, NBA basketball playoffs, decided some big matches getting underway, in about half an hour's time.
Well, that's right. This is an amazing. This is a potentially a career or a history-making game between Boston and Miami. Now, they at this point, at the point of the NBA season, the two teams play a best-of-seven-game series. Miami won the first three, and Boston have come back to win the next three. If they win the final game today, Boston, they will be the first team in NBA history to come back from a 3-0 deficit to win a Eastern Conference final or any playoff series. So this has happened 151 times in NBA history, a game seven like this. Catherine, never has the team come back from love three down to win the or to win the series. So if Boston get through today, they will be then their 2023 team will go down in history as something that's never happened in the NBA before. So I think there'll be a lot of eyes on this game today.
Can you see whoever does win beating the Denver Nuggets because that's the title?
Possibly. You would probably think not. Denver are sitting. They've been sitting watching this series for a week, having won their series against the Lakers 4-0. So they've had a week to rest up. So you would think that they'll be primed. And even if they go on and win the NBA title in a few weeks' time, Catherine, that will be history too because they've never won it before. So there's a couple of cool things in prospect in the NBA over the next little while.
Good stuff. So you're getting the popcorn out in a can of Coke. tuning in at 12:30 today.
Oh, yeah, maybe leave the Coke aside, but maybe.
Sorry. I didn't want to suggest it'd be anything else at this time of the day, Glenn.
No worries, Catherine.
Thanks very much, Glenn Lama, our sports commentator.